بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected listeners, the verse that I've just recited is the first verse of Surah Al-Isra, also known as Surah Bani Israel, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the miraculous journey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis. Bayt al-Maqdis is one of the names of the city wherein lies the holy masjid. Bayt al-Maqdis is also referred to as Ilia in Arabic in the Ahadith, and more famously it is known as Jerusalem. Many of you will have heard and read in the media over the past few weeks of the farcical negotiations are taking place about the future of Jerusalem. Of course, the talks encompass many of the issues, but for us, the main issue of concern is the future status of Bayt al-Maqdis of Jerusalem. Israel occupied the land of Palestine in 1948, many parts of it, and in one of the wars in 1967 he also occupied and annexed the eastern part of Jerusalem, which was previously unoccupied, as a result of which they gained control over the holy precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa. Till this day, East Jerusalem, the whole of Palestine is occupied, and Jerusalem especially, the masjid is under the control and the occupation of these Zionist forces. Over 33 years have passed since that disaster for the Muslim Ummah, and slowly but surely, gradually over these 33 years, the Zionists and their allies throughout the world have been successful in detaching Masjid al-Aqsa from the minds and the hearts of the Muslims. So much so that today, very few express any concern or even show any interest in the issue of Masjid al-Aqsa. We always speak about Mecca and Medina. We in these countries of Europe and America who have the papers and the passports to do so, we regularly visit the Prophet's Mosque in Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Haram, the Kaaba in Mecca. Yet despite the presence of financial means, despite the possibility because of our passports and papers, very few of us pay any visit to Masjid al-Aqsa. So in that way we have separated this holy site from the other two sites. Also, throughout the world, people are just showing there's great apathy and indifference to this whole issue. And in these past few weeks, the future status of Jerusalem is being determined, like I said, in these farcical negotiations. We are only, what's the date? 8th. We are only 5 days away from that 13th of September deadline, by which one party threatened to declare a unilateral status of statehood, upon which Israel has threatened, and its allies, America and others, well, it's threatened, and it obviously has the tacit approval and support of its allies. Upon that declaration, they have threatened to annex and reoccupy all the areas. But of main concern is the fact that in these negotiations over these past few months, the groundwork is being prepared for the ultimate takeover and occupation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah forbid that some of these parties involved in these negotiations, because for many of them, Masjid al-Aqsa is of no concern. What they seek is just political power and their own little state, regardless of whether Masjid al-Aqsa is part of it or not. The Jews, it's always been their dream to occupy this holy site, because for them it's known as a Temple Mount. They believe that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and his father, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, they had their capital there, and upon this very site of the Temple Mount was erected the first temple, which they refer to as the Temple of Solomon. It was destroyed and then rebuilt, and then it was destroyed again by the Romans in 70 AD. And the first destruction took place at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the Iraqi king and emperor, who raided Jerusalem and the surrounding areas and killed many of its inhabitants and took away the rest in captivity. And he also razed the masjid to the ground. So in Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to these two destructions of the masjid, these two incidents of the destruction of the masjid. And these are here they are, AD 70, and also many centuries earlier at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. So the first temple was built, it was destroyed, the second temple was rebuilt, it was destroyed. Since that destruction in AD 70, that's when the main Jewish diaspora started and they were dispersed all over the world. They have only returned now in 1948. And they have been amassing in huge numbers, illegally occupying the land, forcing others out, terrorizing the local inhabitants, killing, maiming, torturing them, displacing them, rendering them homeless. And through this gradual process, over the years, the balance has shifted in terms of population and demography from the Palestinian Muslims to the Israeli Jews. And now, since they have consolidated their power, it is their dream to erect the third temple on the same site of Masjid al-Aqsa. I'm not talking about any site which is adjacent to it or side by side. The very region, I believe the whole sanctuary, the whole haram, the whole raised plateau, which can be referred to as the masjid, the whole masjid, if I remember correctly, it's 144,000 square meters. That whole haram, that whole sanctuary, is referred to as Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Not just the Dome of the Rock, not just the small masjid with the silver dome at the end, nor any of the other chambers or mihrabs. The whole area is referred to as Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So, it is their dream to erect the third temple there. And things are really heating up. Because in 1967, when they first occupied the Eastern Jerusalem and they took over Masjid al-Aqsa, the chief rabbi of the Israeli army, for the first time, He, with his followers and fanatical soldiers, he led the first prayers, Jewish prayers, to be ever held there for 2,000 years. And that was after the occupation. This is the chief rabbi of the Israeli army. Moshe Dayan, the soldier, he was the chief soldier at the time. He was with him on the mount, meaning in Masjid al-Aqsa. And this is what the chief Israeli rabbi actually said to Moshe Dayan, that we now have this opportunity. Get the soldiers, lay the dynamite, and let us remove this abomination of the Muslims once and for all. Meaning Masjid al-Aqsa. Moshe Dayan was a secular Jew. He didn't have much sympathy for the Muslims. But what happened is that Moshe Dayan knew he wasn't as fanatical as this rabbi, whose enthusiasm and whose stupidity far exceeded his intelligence and understanding. And Moshe Dayan knew that if any harm, if anything, was to happen to Masjid al-Aqsa, apart from the occupation, which was bad enough, then the whole world would erupt. So merely for political expediency and far-sightedness, Moshe Dayan threatened to arrest the chief rabbi and said to him, "You will desist, otherwise I personally will arrest you." That's out of no sympathy for the Muslims. It was the instinct for survival and self-preservation rather than sympathy for the Muslims. But the moment they occupied the masjid, the chief rabbi of the Israeli army was determined there and then to blow up the masjid. And these were his words, that we now have the opportunity, let us remove this abomination of the Muslims once and for all. Right now, 33 years have passed, and things haven't, their enthusiasm hasn't waned in the least. If anything, it has increased. Right now, there are more than 17 different groups, not all over the world, but within Israel itself. And for the record, whenever I use the word Israel, that's no recognition of their occupation. I use it merely to facilitate understanding that I am talking about the Zionist forces who are illegally and tyrannically occupying the Holy Land of Palestine. So, within Israel, right now there are more than 17 different groups working on a national level and also internationally. They are registered charities, they are registered and recognized organizations. They have huge media coverage, they have immeasurable finance backing them. And the sole objective, the single aim, and the only reason for the existence of these 17 different organizations is the destruction of Masjid al-Aqsa and its replacement with the Third Temple. They don't work for anything else. They have no welfare projects, nothing. 17 different groups within Israel itself whose sole objective is the destruction of Masjid al-Aqsa and the erection of the Third Temple. And these people, over and over again, they have made every attempt to attack the masjid, to force their way into the masjid area and pray. They have dug tunnels illegally, well, not illegally, they have dug tunnels with the connivance of the Israeli government, who, offering lip service, they make feeble sounds of public and nominal disapproval. But secretly, they are all conniving. They are all together. In fact, one of the ministers of Israel last year or the year before, he publicly declared, one of the ministers of the Israeli government publicly declared his wish, and his wish wasn't a personal one, but representative of the Jews, that they wished to see Masjid al-Aqsa removed and replaced with the Third Temple. Ben-Gurion, who I believe was the first president of Israel, he declared that there is no meaning of Israel without Jerusalem, and there is no meaning of Jerusalem without the temple. So, rest assured, the Yehud, the Jews, it is their fervent belief, it is a fundamental of their faith, it is their ardent desire, and their not so secret but openly disclosed aspiration that they would like to see Masjid al-Aqsa destroyed and replaced with the third temple. Throughout Jerusalem, even now, people can visit hotels, and in the lobbies of these hotels they have giant models of the holy sanctuary. They have already prepared models. These models show the third temple. If they show the Temple Mount, meaning the holy sanctuary, the Haram, minus the Masjid, minus the Dome of the Rock, but all of it just as the third temple. In 1996, the Israeli government, or one of their ministers, presented a gift to the head of the Greek Orthodox Church. And that gift was a silver model of Jerusalem, the city, without Masjid al-Aqsa, without the Dome of the Rock, and replaced with the third temple. So their ambitions have not been made a secret. They have been openly disclosed. These very same organizations who operate in Israel openly collect funds throughout America for the destruction of Masjid al-Aqsa and its replacement with the third temple. And even now, I don't want to give you a chronology of the events that have taken place in Jerusalem, in Bayt al-Maqdis, over the years, targeting Masjid al-Aqsa. But just over the past week, I was checking, and this is the news that has been reported just over the past week from Masjid al-Aqsa. The Mufti of Al-Quds, Sheikh Ikrimah Sabri, has warned that fresh excavations by Zionist authorities near the Masjid al-Aqsa and the Haram could undermine the foundations of Masjid al-Aqsa. New excavations over the past week. The Zionist regime has been carrying out these excavations in the vicinity of the Masjid in a vain search for a Jewish temple, meaning the second Jewish temple. Another piece of news. Archaeologists from the Zionist Ministry of Religions were digging a new tunnel. This is a separate one. Under the Aqsa Masjid. The previous one, we were talking about tunnels in the vicinity, right near the walls of the Haram, but not under the Masjid. This is about another tunnel which is being dug under the Aqsa Masjid to the southwest of the mosque. And this has been taken from the Jewish Daily, a prominent Jewish daily newspaper, Haaretz. And the press has admitted, the ministry has admitted, the experts have said that we have been excavating the area for many years, again in the hope of finding the remains of the second Jewish temple. Over the last week, a new piece of news. Well-informed Hebrew sources have reported that a special committee grouping Jewish rabbis and experts was to meet soon in a bid to agree on the site of constructing the so-called the sacred temple. The daily Jewish newspaper Haaretz again reported that the committee formed by the High Rabbinate Council to discuss building a Jewish synagogue within the Aqsa Mosque held its first session yesterday, but no essential debates were made due to the absence of half of its six members. However, the attendees decided to hold an expanded meeting following the upcoming Jewish holidays later this month, and early next month, a group involving rabbis, researchers, and academics will gather to exchange views on the site of the proposed sacred temple within the Aqsa Masjid. And if such a site was determined, then the High Rabbinate Council, which is a council of all the rabbis of Israel, would issue permission allowing the Jews to enter the Aqsa Masjid. So, like I said, I don't want to give you a chronology of the past few years. This is just the last few days. And recently, Jews have been attempting to enter the Masjid forcibly. But alhamdulillah, they have been repulsed by the Muslims who observed a vigil in the Masjid. The Yahud, and recently, last month, what had happened? One of the reasons why the Jews have not yet forcibly converged on the Haram, on the Holy Sanctuary, is because they believe that the reconstruction of the third temple cannot begin until the Messiah arrives. Their Messiah meaning for us the Dajjal. But they believe that the work on the third temple cannot begin until the Messiah arrives. One thing. Secondly, the rabbis have declared, and it's a well-known law in Judaism, it's nothing new, that because the whole Temple Mount is sacred, they cannot enter its hallowed grounds without first performing certain prescribed rituals. Now, these rituals they are unable to perform today because there is no temple and because of other obstructions. Therefore, they consider it haram to enter the holy sanctuary area without first performing those prescribed rituals, which cannot be performed because of certain obstructions and because of the absence of the temple. So, until now, alhamdulillah, one of the reasons for the masjid remaining safe was that their own rabbis had declared it forbidden for the Jews to enter the Holy Mount area, the Temple Mount area, because that would be a violation of its sanctity. It's like, for them, it's like entering the masjid in the state of janabah. But now many of the rabbis are becoming impatient, and one rebel rabbi has given the fatwa that you can enter the holy sanctuary, and many of the rabbis have followed suit. So their own edict, their own religious edict, which till now, which hitherto prevented them from entering the holy sanctuary because of the lack of ritual purification and because of the lack of prescribed ritual practices, that edict is now being challenged by some rebel rabbis, and many of them are now acting on the advice of some of these rebel rabbis, as a result of which they are forcibly trying to make their way into the haram over and over again. And alhamdulillah, their attempts are being met with fierce resistance on the part of the Palestinian Muslims who live in the vicinity of Masjid al-Aqsa. Every year, a group known as the Temple Mount Faithful, they attempt to lay the foundation stone of the third temple each year. And each year what they do is that they approach the Israeli government and the Israeli courts for permission to be able to lay the foundation stone in the Masjid al-Aqsa sanctuary. Each year, for political reasons, for expediency, not out of sincerity or genuineness, the Israeli government and the Israeli courts used to refuse permission for them to lay the foundation stone. Last year in 99, for the first time, we received reports, and Allah knows if they are true, but last year we received reports that for the first time in history, the Israeli courts actually gave them permission to enter the holy sanctuary to lay the foundation stone for the third temple. But, alhamdulillah, the Muslims observed a vigil from morning till evening and prevented them from entering the holy area. Masjid al-Aqsa is in danger. And the Muslims have become so ignorant, so neglectful of the masjid, that let alone visit it, let alone do anything for it, let alone fight for it, many of us have become forgetful even of its virtues and fada'il, of its position in Islam, and many of us have begun to mentally and religiously detach Masjid al-Aqsa from the other two holy sites, Makkah and Medina. So we lay all emphasis on Masjid al-Aqsa, on the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Haram in Makkah. Billions have been spent on the Haramain, billions. And in Masjid al-Aqsa, when I went, I've been twice, alhamdulillah, the Imam was telling us that wallahi al-azim, we can't even get the finances to maintain the toilets in Masjid al-Aqsa. And those who have been will testify to this. Billions have been spent on the Haramain. Everywhere people speak about the Haramain, Makkah and Medina, Makkah and Medina. Go to people's homes, go to shops, and you will find artifacts, pictures, portraits, paintings, models of the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Makkah. People know about the virtues of Makkah and Medina. Go to people's homes and you will see plaques and paintings, portraits of Masjid al-Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina and the Haram in Makkah. But Masjid al-Aqsa, occasionally you will find, but not too often. In fact, people are so unaware of the fada'il and the virtues of Masjid al-Aqsa that all people know vaguely is that Masjid al-Aqsa is a site holy to the Muslims. No more. In fact, on one occasion, I was very surprised, and this reflects the lack of understanding and the lack of knowledge about Masjid al-Aqsa. Meaning, if we don't even know what Masjid al-Aqsa means to us, how will we ever do anything for it? I was speaking to an imam and a scholar. He was a scholar, meaning, he was an imam of a masjid. He was conversant in Arabic. He was versed in the Quran and the Hadith, and he knew many masail and of fiqh, etc. And I spoke to him about Masjid al-Aqsa, and then he told me later on that, you know, I must confess, and I say this with all respect to him, he's a friend of mine, but I say this with all respect to him, and this isn't backbiting, no one knows who I'm talking about, but this is an example. He told me later, and he confessed in all honesty, he said, you know, and he's an imam speaking, he said, like anybody else, I always knew that Masjid al-Aqsa is holy, and it has a place, or it should have a place in our hearts. But the thing that you mentioned about Masjid al-Aqsa, by Allah, I never knew any of them before. And if this is a case with an imam, imagine the rest. Often you ask someone, what do you know of Masjid al-Aqsa? Oh, it's a holy site. Some Muslims cannot even place Masjid al-Aqsa. They do not know it's in Jerusalem. And if you say Baytul Maqdis, many don't know that Baytul Maqdis is Jerusalem. This is exactly what the Zionists want to do. They want to detach us from Masjid al-Aqsa in every way, politically, physically. They are operating a vicious and pernicious scheme of ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem. Many years before, the population of Jerusalem was predominantly Muslim. Now that has been sliced, and there are more Jews than ever in Jerusalem, and they try to do everything legally, ostensibly they try to do everything legally, and that's why no one wants to say anything to them that what you are doing is basically ethnic cleansing, what you are doing is displacing people. They've already done it for the rest of Palestine, but with Jerusalem it is their plan, that they do not want to see one single Muslim remaining in Baytul Maqdis, and then they can do what they want. They will declare the city to be out of bounds, and they will restrict access only to Jews. They have already said that Jerusalem is the eternal and undivided capital of the Jewish nation. That's not the chorus and cry of one individual Jew, fanatical Jew. That is a chorus and cry of every Israeli minister, of the Jews. It is the official policy of the Israeli government. Once they gain complete control, which, as I mentioned earlier, for which groundwork is being prepared right now in these negotiations, in these farcical negotiations. Once they gain complete control, Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah forbid, will become a victim of further aggression and attack on their part. In fact, maybe even the total destruction. Recently, a book was published, not recently, last year or the year before, called Daybreak in Israel. This book, written by a group and widely circulated, actually outlines a Jewish plan, and it depicts four different scenarios for the destruction of Masjid al-Aqsa and its replacement with the Third Temple. Openly available. They are so committed, some of you may be surprised to learn, that all plans have been made for the Third Temple. The architecture is complete. The architectural plans are complete. The inner decor is complete, meaning plans for the inner decor. They have even agreed on the color of the curtains that will go inside the temple. The incense sticks that will be burnt in their ritual practices have already been purchased and are being kept waiting. The children, you see, it is part of their religion, that part of the Jewish law, that only certain priests can actually pray, worship, and preach in the temple. And they should be ones who haven't been polluted by the world, and who from a very young age have been devoted to the service of the temple and consecrated. And an example of that is the story of Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam, whose mother and father, before she was conceived, they prayed to Allah that, as Allah Azza wa Jalla quotes in Surah Al Imran, "Inni nazartu laka ba'af ma fi batni muharran," that, "Oh Allah," the mother of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam prayed to Allah that, "Oh Allah, the child which I have in my stomach, the child that I have conceived, and after much waiting," it was a miracle as well. So she said that, "The child which I have conceived, I devote this child to the service of the masjid," meaning Masjid al-Aqsa. When the child was born, meaning Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى." The mother said, "Oh Allah, I was expecting a male child who I could devote to the service of the masjid, but this turns out to be a girl." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed her through the angels, "وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى." Allah knows obviously, from the, even before the conception, that it was going to be a girl. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, but there can be no male child who will ever be like this girl. There can be no male child who will ever be like this girl. Because she is Maryam. She will be the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And she is chosen by Allah. So then they were instructed, the parents, by Allah through the angels, to still devote that child to the prayer, to prayer and worship and the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. Thus Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam spent her life, and especially before the birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the masjid, in her own little mihrab, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates that every time, كُلَّمَا دَخْلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابِ, every time Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, who was appointed to look after her and care for her because he was related to her, because she had been devoted to the service of the masjid, every time he would enter her chamber, her mihrab, she had a little chamber known as a mihrab, where she lived, where she stayed, where she prayed and worshipped. So, but she was unique. Normally this was reserved only for the boys. So they had to be devoted to the masjid from birth. So now, the Jews, in preparation for the erection of the third temple, they have also devoted children. Children have been born, and they have taken these children, isolated them from everybody else, kept them away totally from everybody else, and they have been kept in isolation, in solitude, being taught how to pray and how to worship. They are being prepared as these unpolluted priests in order to serve in the temple. The priests are being prepared from birth. The incense sticks that will be burnt have been purchased and are being made ready. The inner decor, the colour of the carpets and the curtains, has been decided. The decoration, the colour of the paint, has been determined. Everything is ready. Even the woodwork, they have purchased different wood for different things and different buildings and different parts of the temple. The masonry, the stone, the marble, even the wood, everything has been purchased and is being made ready. This is how determined they are. And as for the Muslims, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, we are asleep. No government is doing anything. The governments, the Muslim governments, will not even allow. They will not even allow. There are some Muslim governments who have a good relationship with Israel. Of course it's haram, but they have a very good political and economical relationship with Israel, openly. Many others, we think of them as being good, in the sense that at least publicly they are not aligning themselves with Israel, or they are offering nominal opposition. In reality, some of these are so hypocritical that secretly they are in cahoots with the Israelis, more than those who simply have diplomatic relations. These countries that have economical, diplomatic, political relations and agreements with Israel, they won't even allow their own citizens, who have every right, according to the Israelis, to come and visit Masjid al-Aqsa. They won't allow them to visit Masjid al-Aqsa. Each year, in Hajj, it is a sight to behold. Millions of Muslims converge on Mecca and Medina in order to perform the rites of Hajj and Umrah, especially during the Hajj, millions collectively converge on these two holy cities. And it is a sight to see the unity of the Ummah, the respect given to Makkah and to Medina. But Allahu Akbar, during those days Masjid al-Aqsa weeps in solitude, for no one visits it. Even though over the centuries it was a sunnah of the Muslims to go to Hajj, go to Umrah, visit Masjid al-Haram in Makkah, visit the Prophet's Masjid in Medina, pay their respects to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, personally offer salatu salam and then from there they would also travel to Masjid al-Aqsa. So much so, last year what happened in Hajj, for the first time, one Muslim country, each Muslim country has a quota. Only so many thousands of people can go to Hajj. So this Muslim country had a quota, and they filled their quota. Their quota was 70,000 Muslims from that one country alone. 70,000 Muslims made arrangements, obviously with the permission and with the support of the government, to go for Hajj. And for the first time, all 70,000 had planned, because the government had allowed it, that they would travel to Makkah, from there to Medina, and then after Hajj they would also visit Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, all 70,000. A few days or a short while before their departure, permission was cancelled. Not from the Israelis, but from their own government. That go to Makkah, go to Medina, but don't go to Masjid Al-Aqsa. They weren't allowed to go. So they went for Hajj. They went to Makkah and Medina, and then returned to their Muslim country, to their country. Even though that country has relations, it refused them permission to go to Masjid al-Aqsa, even though initially it had been announced that they would go. Yahud simply said, we don't want them here. And سمعنا وأطعنا, we have heard and we have obeyed. This is the state of Masjid al-Aqsa. If you speak to the people over there, they will say that if the Muslims can't do anything else, at least those of them who can come here, they should attempt to come. Pay a visit to Masjid al-Aqsa. That's the least. I'm not saying that the only solution is a visit to Masjid al-Aqsa. We know the only solution. But what can't be achieved in its entirety should not be abandoned in its entirety. There's a saying in Arabic, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُتْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. What can't be achieved in its entirety should not be abandoned in its entirety. People have even stopped going to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Do you know the effect that's had? The effect is that very few Muslims are to be seen praying in the Masjid. And we have been informed by people who pray all their salawat in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Daily, up to 2,000 tourists visit the Masjid. Many of them scantily dressed, roaming around with their camcorders. They roam the whole sanctuary, which we already recognize as being the Masjid. But even the Dome of the Rock and the carpeted area within the Masjid, which was built on the original Masjid built by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, even in there, some areas are cordoned off, but they roam around the Masjid, just like here on the carpeted area, camcording, hooing, haing, gaping and observing the architecture. Masjid al-Aqsa has become a monument. Would anyone tolerate scantily dressed women, foolish tourists with their camcorders and their snapshots, roaming around the Haram in Mecca or roaming around the Haram in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah? What is so less important about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa that we tolerate for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa? And the Muslims there will tell you that it is a shame that we have to see 2,000 tourists, but we can't match that number in Musallis, in people who actually pray in this Masjid. This is the level of apathy, indifference and neglect on the part of the Muslims globally. Governments, nations and individuals alike. And like I said, one of the reasons is, what's so important about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa? What is this place? If we treat Makkah to be important, and rightfully, we should rightfully do so, we should realize that the virtues and merits that make Makkah holy are to be found in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and Bayt al-Maqdis. If we look at them, we believe that Makkah is holy. Why? Because Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam traveled to Makkah when there was nobody there, And he left his family, his wife, Ummuna Hajar radiallahu anha, and his son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he visited Mecca a few times. Mecca is holy because of him, if we believe that. Mecca is holy because Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was there. And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam had only one prophet who came amongst his children, and that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Mecca is holy because of the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ismail, and the visits by Sayyidina Ibrahim, then imagine how holy Baytul Maqdis would be and its surrounding region. Because Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam actually did hijrah from his original birthplace of Ur in Iraq all the way to Baytul Maqdis and its surrounding regions. There he did hijrah, he emigrated and he settled. If Mecca is holy because Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam visited it a few times, Baytul Maqdis and its surrounding region is just as holy, because that was the place where he actually lived, settled, prayed, preached, worshipped and taught, and where he died and was buried. If Sayyidina Ismail, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, had a family which he left in Mecca, Sayyidina Ismail, from whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from whose children the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was eventually born, imagine Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the prophets that followed him there. All of these prophets were born, they lived, they preached, they worshipped, they propagated, and they died and were buried in these areas, in and around Baytul Maqdis, not necessarily in Baytul Maqdis, but in and around Baytul Maqdis. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Ishaq, Sayyidina Ya'qub, Sayyidina Yusuf. And what four prophets? Once in a hadith read by Imam Bukhari and others, the Sahaba asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, man akramun nas, O Prophet of Allah, who is the most honored of all people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem. The most honored of all mankind is the honored, the son of the honored, the son of the honored, the son of the honored. Who? Yusuf, the son of Ya'qub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim alayhim salatu wasalam. Yusuf is the most honored of all people, for he was a chosen prophet of Allah, the son of an honored prophet of Allah, Ya'qub, the son of an honored prophet of Allah, Ishaq, the son of an honored and beloved prophet of Allah, the best friend of Allah, Ibrahim, Khalilullah, alayhim salatu wasalam. These, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, were the most honored of all people. And all of them, like I said, lived, worshipped, prayed, preached in and around that region. And after them, many more. Sayyidina Suleiman, Sayyidina Dawood, Sayyidina Yahya, Sayyidina Zakariya, Sayyidina Maryam, Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam, alayhim salatu wasalam. They and many others, all of them are buried there. They preached, they taught, they lived there. The angels visited them there, if we believe Mecca to be holy, and Medina, because that was where wahi was. Wahi descended, the revelations came from Allah, then the revelations came to these prophets alayhim salatu wasalam there in Baytul Maqdis and its surrounding regions. If Mecca and Medina are holy because that was a place where angels visited, then countless angels visited and continue to visit the masjid and the surrounding region. In fact, if we look at Medina, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did hijrah to Medina, Medina was known as Yathrib. It was an oasis town known as Yathrib. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam emigrated to it. There he settled, the Muslims settled, and it became holy because of his presence. But as far as Baytul Maqdis is concerned, the city of Jerusalem, wherein lies Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, it never became holy because Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came there. Or the other Anbiya. Allah had declared Baytul Maqdis to be holy from the time of creation. Just like Mecca. And like Medina, but like Mecca. That's why in a hadith related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi sahih, as well as by many others, from Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala an, he said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيُّ مَسْجِدٍ وُضِعَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوَّلًا قَالَ الْمَسْجِدُ الْحَرَامِ ثُمَّ قُلْتْ أَيُّ قَالْ المسجد الأقصى قلت كم كان بينهما قال 40 سنة. I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, which was the first masjid ever to be built on earth? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, المسجد الحرام in Mecca. I then asked, which was the second masjid? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, المسجد الأقصى. I asked what was the time difference between the two. He said 40 years. And that means that Sayyidina Ibrahim and Sayyidina Ismail alayhim salatu wassalam, they didn't build the Kaaba anew. They only rebuilt the Kaaba, resurrected it on its original foundations, which were built by the angels, or by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Similarly, in the very beginning of creation, when the first masjid was built, meaning al-masjid al-haram, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكٌ وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمٌ. Allah says, indeed, the first house established for the worship and for the guidance of mankind is surely that one which is to be found in Bakkah. Bakkah is an alternative name of Makkah. The Masjid al-Haram in Mecca was the first house built and established for the worship of Allah and for the guidance of mankind. Not by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He only rebuilt it and renovated it. He resurrected it on its original foundations, which were laid either by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, according to some narrations, or more appropriately by the angels. And 40 years after the original foundations and building of the Kaaba, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa was also built, again either by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, or by the angels. So Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa wasn't made holy because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did Isra there. He travelled there from Makkah to the masjid. No, Allah made it the second masjid on earth for the worship of Allah and the guidance of mankind. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he called his noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to visit him and to tour the heavens and to see Jannat and Jahannam in that miraculous journey of Isra and Mi'raj. I say Isra and Mi'raj because there were two parts to the journey. Isra was the first part, Mi'raj was the second part. Mi'raj means the ascension, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left the earth in the company of the angels led by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he visited the heavens. That miraculous journey of Mi'raj is another topic in itself. But that was the second part of the journey. The first part of the journey was Isra, and the meaning of Isra means traveling by night. Now, if Allah wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the heavens and unto himself directly from Makkah, and he could have been returned directly to Makkah. But Allah wanted to make a point, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to demonstrate to his creation the relationship between these two original masjids, the Masjid of Makkah and the Masjid of Bayt al-Maqdis, al-Masjid al-Haram in Makkah and al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of all the places on earth, Allah instructed the angels to take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to the heavens directly from Makkah, but rather from Makkah to al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis. And that was the first part of the journey known as Isra. In fact, this is the part of the journey which is referred to in Surah Bani Israel, or Surah Al-Isra, whose first verse I recited earlier. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. That all glorified be he who took his servants by night from the Al-Masjid Al-Haram to the furthest masjid, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, whose precincts, whose vicinity we have made holy and we have sanctified, so that we may show him of our signs. Allah could have taken him anywhere but Allah, or directly, but he was taken to Masjid al-Aqsa. Then he was taken to the heavens from Masjid al-Aqsa, not from the Kaaba. And he was returned to the world, to the earth, from the heavens, not to the Kaaba, but to Masjid al-Aqsa, and again from there to Makkah. That was a station. Imagine the connection. Similarly, proving this connection even further, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith related by his wife Ummu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, recorded by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, Ibn Majah in his Sunan, and also by Abu Dawood in his Sunan. She says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أهل من المسجد الأقصى بعمرة أو بحجة غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر وفي رواية وجبت له الجنة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Whoever puts on the ihram for Hajj or for Umrah from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and then travels from there to Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his past and future sins. And in one narration, wajabat lahu al-jannah, Jannah becomes obligatory for him. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to act on this sunnah. They would travel to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu did it when he conquered Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Bayt al-Maqdis. He put on his ihram like many of the Sahaba, and there were thousands of Sahaba with him. Many would have followed his example, and there they put on the ihram and travelled all the way to Makkah merely to act on this hadith. This was the sunnah of the Sahaba, the sunnah of the Muslims till this day. This day we don't even visit Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the least that we can do. This connection between the two masjids, like I said, unlike Medina, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa or Bayt al-Maqdis weren't made holy because some prophets went there afterwards. It was always made holy from the beginning. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, He quotes Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who told his people, يَا قَوْمِ ادْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَرْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. O my people, enter the holy land which Allah has written for you. Now that didn't mean it was made holy because the Jews were about to enter it. But remember, those who were with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, many of them were true believers. But the land was already made holy. Allah said and told him to tell his people, enter the holy land, a land which had already been made holy from the beginning of creation. Similarly, in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Banu Israel, the children of Israel, the Jews, وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَسْتَضْعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. That's those people who were oppressed and considered weak and worthless in the land, being the Jews, by Fir'aun and his army. We made them the inheritors of the east and the west of the land that we had blessed, meaning already we had blessed it, Bayt al-Maqdis and the surrounding region. Similarly, I've already read this verse of Surah al-Isra. In Surah al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He protected and delivered Sayyidina Ibrahim and his nephew, Sayyidina Lut, who was Sayyidina Ibrahim's nephew. Allah protected both of them and delivered them from their original land and home place where they were being persecuted. Allah protected them and delivered them where? To the holy land of Bayt al-Maqdis and the surrounding regions, which Allah had already blessed. Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We delivered him and Lut alayhim as-salatu was-salam to a land which we had already made blessed for the whole of mankind. Again in Surah Al-Anbiya, speaking about the gifts that Allah had bestowed upon Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was-salam, Allah who lived, resided, and who governed from the city of Bayt al-Maqdis, that was his capital. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ. That for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, we made the winds subservient, which blew violently and which raged under his command, in a land, or to a land which we had already blessed, and we are aware and knowledgeable of all things. Similarly, in Surah Al-Saba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks again of these cities of Bayt al-Maqdis and the surrounding region. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ الْقُرَى الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا قُرًا ظَاهِرَةً وَقَدَّرْنَا فِيهَا السَّيْرَ سِيرُوا فِيهَا لَيَالِيَ وَأَيَّامًا آمِنِينَ. I won't translate the whole verse because it's related to the people of Sabah, and the mere translation, you won't be able to understand the translation without the tafsir. But Allah refers to these cities of Bayt al-Maqdis and the surrounding region as being the holy cities that we had already blessed. Similarly, in Surah al-Teen, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالْتِينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. Allah swears by a number of places on His earth. Allah says by the fig and by the olive, and by Mount Sinai, and by this secure city, meaning of Mecca. So Allah swears by certain places in His creation. And then Allah goes on to say what? We have created man in the best form possible. So Allah swears in the name of Mecca, this secure city. Allah swears in the name of Mount Sinai, and Mount Sinai was holy because Allah Azza wa Jalla told, that was where Allah spoke to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah told him, إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَنْعِ لِمَا يُوحَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدْنِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, فَخْلَعْنْ عَلَيْكِ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. O Musa, remove your shoes, for you are in a holy valley. And listen to what is being revealed to you. I am Allah, the only Lord. So Allah spoke to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam on the holy plains of Mount Sinai. So Allah says, by the secure city of Makkah, by Mount Sinai. But the first verse, by the fig and the olive. Why is Allah swearing by the fig and the olive and then Mount Sinai and Makkah? In fact, Allah is not swearing by the fig and the olive. The fig and the olive is referring to a place, just like Makkah and Mount Sinai. And that place, which is being referred to with the figurative terms of the olive and the fig, where do the best figs come from? Where are the best olives from? The most holy. From the Mount of Olives right next to Masjid al-Aqsa. So Allah is swearing by Masjid al-Aqsa, by the city of Bayt al-Maqdis, by Mount Sinai and by Makkah. These holiest places on earth. Allah has spoken about the virtue and the merit of Bayt al-Maqdis, the city as a whole. Jerusalem belongs to the Muslims. Not just one part of it, the whole of it. And inshaAllah, we will retake it. Allah has spoken about the virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa and Bayt al-Maqdis. And in the ahadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, many of you will know these virtues, but this is just a reminder. A reminder to awaken us, to inspire us, to prod us into some action, whatever is possible within our meager limits. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa, you know, why am I constantly referring to Makkah, Medina and Masjid al-Aqsa? Because these are the three holiest places. Masjid al-Aqsa was the first Qibla of the Muslims. If we treat Makkah with respect and reverence, because it is the direction in which we face to perform our salah, then that is equally applicable to Masjid al-Aqsa. Because before Hijrah, in many narrations it has been mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would actually perform salah in Makkah in such a way that he would perform salah to the southern side of the Kaaba, so that the Kaaba would be before him, and further on Masjid al-Aqsa would also be before him. That's how he performed his salah. When he did Hijrah to Medina for 17 months, Allah instructed him not to face Makkah, but rather to face Masjid al-Aqsa. For 17 months in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, the Qibla of the Muslims of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not the Haram in the Kaaba in Mecca, but rather Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And the respect that was to be given to the Kaaba was the same respect that was to be given and showed. The same status was to be accorded to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. In fact, in a hadith related by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, from Sayyidina Ma'qil ibn Abi Ma'qil al-Asadi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us that we were never to face either the Kaaba. He said we were never to face the two Qiblas when we're leaving ourselves. Meaning both. We were never to face the Kaaba in Mecca, and we were never to face Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. The two Qiblas when we're moving ourselves, when we're leaving ourselves. It was only after 17 months that Allah instructed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, سيقول الصفهاء من الناس ما ولاهم عن قبلتهم التي كانوا عليها قل لله المشرق والمغرب. Till the end of the few verses. I've explained these in Tafsir before. It was only then that Allah instructed him after 17 months to revert to the original Qibla of the Kaaba. But we are still to respect Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa as our first Qibla after Hijrah. So if Makkah is important and holy because it's our Qibla, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa has remained our Qibla.